hour is supported by Robbins Kaplan, LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
Live from Macho Blue Earth, Robbins Kaplan Studios, Native Roots Radio.
We went to all the powwows when we were young. At that time, children could not dance. Only people over 50 years of age could dance. Most people do not know this, that the government forbid children to dance Indian. And that was so they could wipe out the culture of the young people, and then finally the new generation would never know what
happened. I'm a member of the American Indian Movement, and I'm from the indigenous nations of the Western Hemisphere.
We American Indians, we can be anything we want to be, except American Indians.
You were here long before any of us were here.
Buju, everybody. My name is Peggy Flanagan. Guabagani Gadikagda Jujuba. I'm from the White Earth Nation, and my family's the Wolf Clan.
There's trouble in Custer, South Dakota yesterday.
That the American Indian Movement is a very proud, continuing part of American Indian society. I thank you.
But what I tell you is that we are not backing down. We're here, we'll stand here, because we have been here for 10,000 years. We're the home team, and we're not going anywhere.
Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Ahu, Ho-Chunk Raja, Wakunjahade, Hingadena.
And on today's show, we're going to start out with Honor the Earth's Winona LaDuke. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Winona.
Me Gwich. Hello, all out there. Thanks for listening to Native Roots Radio.
Exactly. So you've had an unbelievable week. Can you tell us a little bit about what you had going on and what you planned? Because things are happening fast.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so everything is moving. And this week, the Indigo Girls, who sit on the board of Honor the Earth, I've been, you know, since 93, we worked together to support Native environmental and cultural renaissance everywhere in North America, foundation. But anyway, this week we had a fundraiser, and it was live on Instagram, on YouTube, and on Facebook, and I don't know what other media. The Indigo Girls sang the entire Rites of Passage, kind of their classic 93 CD album, added some new songs in there, chatted with people, fucked around with their making their equipment work. You know how much we raised? We raised over $180,000.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. So Honor the Earth is going to be giving out support to Native food projects, food sovereignty in the time of COVID, because what we know is that food systems aren't going to look good in the fall, and we need to be taking care of our communities. So we are really grateful to the Indigo Girls and to all of our donors who called in the live Indigo Girls show and donated to Honor the Earth. Unbelievable. I never seen anything like it in my whole life. Cause you know, I don't know about you, Robert, but like, I got a lot of ideas, but I don't have a lot of money. And so I'm just working. You got this problem?
Yeah.
And so like, well, I was like, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden, like we have a week's notice and then bang. So, you know, Honor the Earth isn't going to be personally rolling a lot of money, but we're going to work on getting some money out nationally.
That's
and,
so awesome.
Great folks at Indigo Girls. Yeah, unbelievable anything would work like that. Unbelievable. So thank you to our donors, supporters, Indigo Girls fans, you know, and just thanks to musicians for keeping our hearts strong and being so full of beauty and love and immense gratitude.
Yeah, I watched that and it was beautiful. And, you know, people are craving for that. They're stuck in the in their homes and the entertainment and also being able to help. And we know how much Honor the Earth helps. And, wow, shout out to the Indigo Girls. That's just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's like little stuff, too. You wouldn't know. But, you know, like that beautiful painting at ICO, American Indian Community Health Organization, the Water Protector Woman. You know, we funded that.
Wow.
You know, so we do little stuff. But, you know, I'm saying, grateful to the Indigo Girls. So that's my update on what's cool that's happening, that's the future. Kind of like what should not be happening. Another update on Enbridge. You know, they are doing some layoffs, asking for some early retirement. They're hurting. I keep telling the state of Minnesota liability is high and Enbridge is looking shakier by the minute. Honor the Earth has joined with tribes and organizations in Wisconsin and Michigan to also file suit against Line 5. So Enbridge is facing legal challenges on Line 3 and on Line 5. And I just want to, you know, tremendous gratitude to the attorneys, you know, who are working to protect Mother Earth and to protect Native people across this territory. So I just wanted to say a little update there. You know, nobody is stopping on Enbridge, but Enbridge keeps trying to move ahead, you know, and we're going to keep pushing back against them. So hang in there, my people.
That's right. That's perfect. Go ahead.
So listen, the other thing I want to talk about is that we have elections coming up. So I am going to interview most of these candidates. So you got people running for the chairperson of WIDER. You've got Mike Fairbanks, Joshua Kent, Martha Williams, Pam Aspinwall, Pat Moran, and Ken Fox. You got six candidates running for WIDER federal chair, and the primary is in June. Now, with COVID, you know, in the cities, elsewhere, our people haven't been able to see these candidates. So I'm going to try a Facebook interview and then also offer it up to you, and it'd be a Niji radio for the reservation. But since most of our people are down in the Twin Cities, I want to make sure that people know that we're going to do some interviews with them. And, you know, we'll try to do a written too, but, you know, I just want to, we're going to ask them some questions. So if you want to hit me up with some questions you might have, hit me up on Facebook, you know,
exactly.
We're going to ask what they think they've done good the past few years, what they're proud of and where they're going and future of our nation. And then we got District 3. District 3 is up, and you've got Umzi Tibbetts, Star Ellis, Ralph Goodman, Cheryl Jackson, Mary Otto, Joe DanRosso, David Green, Amelia Bray, David England, Leah Harper, and Lori York. All these people are good people running for office up on White Earth. And, you know, there's a lot of – it's hard to be a tribal government official at any point. But, you know – hats off to people who are running. And so I want to say I'm doing these interviews and I'm hoping to work with you, Robert, as I learn the way of the technology to get these people's story out. But elections are in June, so we're going to work on getting some you know, Facebook pictures of these guys and such.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think we can do a Zoom Facebook and get questions live, too, if you're up for that. That would be something really cool.
And then, fancy, but let us see what we can do.
Yeah.
You know, I'll look at your time and their time, but I'm just going to, I've been vexing on it. But, you know, I need to be informed. And so I figure every other tribal member is going to want to be informed on where these candidates stand. So I'm going to do my best.
Yeah,
you know, we're going to do our best to help them tell their stories and ask some hard questions and some good questions.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's well needed, especially I shouldn't say especially, it's always needed. But I appreciate what you're going to do. And we're going to help you do that any way we can down here in the Twin Cities. We have a lot of outlets here and just about coordinating. And we're going to get that out there, Winona.
Thank you.
So anything else here?
The planting is going well. Mm-hmm. We did our first round of horse cultivation. Doing our best, and a lot of people are you know, growing a lot of food, and you know, I've been proud of our communities, really proud of our communities, and you know, just thanks for your hard work out there in Indian Country, Robert, and just everybody keep working together. Keep working together, because that's how problems get solved, and that's how we're going to be healthy.
Yes, thank you so much. And also, Winona is going to be on the symposium this weekend, and we're doing a new one on generations. So we're bringing back the kids, and we're going to do that again. We're just not going to call it Mother's Day symposium. It's going to be generations. So I'm going to bring one of my daughters on, and everybody's excited to do that again. Last week we had an overload of Zoom. It must have been Mother's Day and nothing was working. So this week we're going to get back and do that again.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Sunday. And, geez, that's tomorrow, huh?
Exactly. Never sleeps. Mama. Right. Peeny Gigi for being on. Up next.
Yeah, back at you, brother. And best to y'all down in the cities. Make sure you plant your little gardens and be happy. And listen up on the White Earth election options, because we're going to be voting in June, and it'd be nice to know who we're voting for.
Absolutely. Up next.
Make sure you get your absentee ballots, people. Okay.
Perfect. Up next, House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanja Hare. Each week, we have all these super guests on Native Roots Radio, and we always really appreciate everyone, and especially House Representative Mary Kunish Podine. Let's take a listen to her portion of the show this week. Mary, you're up.
How mitake yape. It's State Representative Mary Kunish Podine. I am now the officially endorsed candidate for Senate in District 41. So it'll be a summer of campaigning coming up. It's May 15th, and we are in our last weekend of the state legislative session. And we're still working around the clock to deliver as much economic relief and really good, sound policy changes so that we can make sure that Minnesotans who are struggling amid the COVID-19 pandemic and the aftermath are going to have resources available to them. So I'm really pleased to report that most of the legislation that we've passed this year has received bipartisan support. That means both the Republicans and the Democrats are supporting much of the legislation. However, there are huge differences in how we approach relief and recovery between the Democrat controlled House and the Republican-led Senate. So, whoops, my dog here sees a... Just a minute. Hey, stop it. The forecasted $2.4 billion state budget deficit has created unique challenges in how we're going to approach our work with the other body, the Republicans. And last week we passed a bill with really broad bipartisan support that will protect the health and the safety of our elected officials, our judges, and our voters during this year's elections. It's so important that we make sure that we're all able to vote this coming November because it's going to be a very important one. So that bill allows our state to use federal Help America Vote Act, HAVA, H-A-V-A, funds to prepare for increased absentee voting. And we want to have a few new polling locations. We want to make sure that we can keep the polling areas sanitized and disinfectant, which means they're going to need supplies. And, of course, we will need to provide public outreach. So those HAVA funds will also be used to protect our election system from hackers and foreign interference as it has been in the past. But unfortunately, missing from that bill was a universal vote by mail proposal. In 2018, almost 25% of the votes were absentee, and some areas of the state already do exclusively vote by mail elections. It's interesting. Today, I was on a call with American Indian legislators from all over the country. And there were certain states and certain areas and tribes that do their voting exclusively by mail or absentee voting. And it probably will be a trend coming up. So if you think about what happened in Wisconsin, there's at least 70 COVID-19 cases already tied to the Wisconsin primary election last month. And from what I hear and see from my constituents, my voters want a more robust vote by mail option. So we'll see how that goes. So you are, everybody, any of us are able to vote by absentee vote, whether it's for safety or any other reason. You can apply right now. It started this week. You can apply for an absentee ballot for the August primary or the November general election through our Secretary of State's office. If you go online to www.sos.state.mn.us/elections-voting, or just go to sos.state.mn.us, our Secretary of State, and you'll be able to, there's lots of links and information about voting, and you'll be able to click on a link and request that absentee vote. The one problem that we have with that is that it does have to be verified or it has to be witnessed and signed by somebody else. And I had somebody contact me to say, I don't want to be around anybody else. I live alone. I'm vulnerable health-wise. How are we going to figure this out? Just remember, you've got a few months to do this. So we can do this and we will do it. This past week, I was really proud to support the House's DFL COVID-19 Economic Security Act. That legislation included over $100 million in assistance for our Minnesota renters, homeowners, and landlords. I know that it is getting really hard. People are already not able to pay their housing fees. So this is support for rent and mortgages, and qualified applicants will be able to receive help paying their utilities and their property taxes as well. That relief package will deliver about a 15% temporary pay increase for Minnesota's. This is another one, but the relief package also provides a 15% temporary pay increase for Minnesota's personal care assistants, our PCAs. And I didn't know this before I joined the legislature, but the legislature sets the wage for PCAs in Minnesota. And those personal care assistants are folks that serve our our family and loved ones with disabilities, our seniors, and our vulnerable populations. So in addition to that increase, PCAs can now be paid for 310 hours of service per month, up from 275. So not only were they limited to how many hours they could work, they also were not receiving a very good pay. And the bill allows a parent or legal guardian of a minor PCA recipient or spouse of a PCA to earn wages for providing those services during peacetime emergencies. So if you have a loved one with disability and they're not in some kind of a group home or other place, you can get paid for taking care of your loved one. We were also able to secure an investment of $15 million in new distance learning broadband access grant program. And that provides students with the equipment necessary to access learning materials on the internet. And then it will reimburse school districts for costs to provide that broadband. It also is investing $10 million in our state's border-to-border broadband grant program, because if it's one thing we have realized with this pandemic, the lack or the discrepancy between high-speed broadband is tremendous. And so the funding is targeted for under or unserved areas. And then it's also going to throw some money at the new telemedicine equipment reimbursement grant so that healthcare providers and counties that purchase and install telemedicine equipment to provide COVID-19 related health services are getting some assistance. Especially out in greater Minnesota, this is going to make a huge difference. We did not forget our small businesses. Our legislation this past week appropriated $55 million to the Small Business Emergency Loan Program at the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development, otherwise known as DEED, D-E-E-D. So, and DEED is where all this small business stuff happens. And that is going to be launched by the executive order that our governor, Governor Walz, Order 2015 put into place on the 23rd. And the program's original $30 million has already been exhausted. And so it's putting $55 million more into this. We also championed our hourly school workers. During this challenging and unexpected time of distance learning, our Minnesota school staff has really, really stepped up in extraordinary ways. And I see it at my school, and I see it in the school district that I represent. And we recognize the value that they create for our students every day. And we're starting to hear it from our students and from our parents. And so what we would like to do is hold our school districts financially whole so that they in turn can keep their education support professionals, their bus drivers, the food programs, and other hourly staff whole financially during school closures when it's related to a public health crisis such as this. One other thing that happened, or maybe two I'll talk about. Over the weekend, we approved legislation that raises the age for Minnesotans to purchase tobacco products, electronic delivery devices, and other nicotine products to age 21. The federal government passed our Tobacco 21 law in December of 2019, and that made the minimum age requirement, we increased it from 18 to 21 for the entire country. But some retailers have expressed a lot of confusion and insist that they're not going to comply until they see the changes made at the state level. So that's what we did. We made the change at the state level. We know that tobacco has an incredible negative effect on our health, especially our American Indians, when it comes to heart disease. And it, our our emphysema, asthma, all of those things have really made a difference. And vaping has been proven to be so much more dangerous than smoking tobacco. And so it is now happened that we've raised the age for Minnesotans to purchase tobacco to be 21. And then the last thing I'll talk about is this past Saturday, we passed legislation to boost payments for our low-income working Minnesotans who are on the MFIP program, Minnesota Family Investment Program. And so we were looking to provide a one-time payment of up to $50 per household for families who are enrolled in MFIP. And those funds are sitting in our TANF account. It's not like we're taking it out of the general fund or anywhere else. This is money that is sitting there. It's from the federal government. And we want to make sure that during this especially trying time, we're able to meet the needs of our families. So that's it for me. That's it for me today. We'll be at the Capitol all weekend. Tune in to hear more about what's going on. Everybody take care. Wopolatanka, Chimigwich.
Pinigigi Marikunish Podin for all you do. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudgee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we got showers with a high near 66. Tonight more showers with a low around 51. Tomorrow still raining with a high near 58. Monday sunny with a high near 72. And Tuesday sunny with a high near 78. Thank you for all of the listeners that have supported by becoming members. Thank you for all the kind notes, calls, and comments. We can still use help through memberships as we know we are a long way from getting through this virus. Go to am950radio.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Each week, we are so blessed to have State House Representative Ruth Buffalo from North Dakota. Pinigigi for being on, Ruth, and how are you doing this week?
I'm doing good, yeah. Thank you for having me. Mazagadas, it's always good to be on here.
Awesome. So it's always hard to talk about North and South Dakota without mushing them together, but let's talk about what's happening in North Dakota right now. What do you see going on, or what's happening with your nations? What's happening with your state right now?
So to my understanding, the tribal nations within North Dakota are in regular communication with the governor of North Dakota and also with the North Dakota Indian Affairs Commission office, which is a appointed governor cabinet position. And so I know that there's regular communication and testing, mass testing or large amounts of testing have been conducted at the different tribal nations. And I know within each tribal nation within North Dakota, there's work being done on the ground to make sure people are protected and also, encouraging the prevention of further spread of COVID-19.
So how are you and your family doing? I mean, is there sports or are there things coming up, or are you guys staying hunkered down in quarantine? How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. There's six of us in my household here in South Fargo. We are staying hunkered down. We are, just continuing to practice, physical distancing if we should go to the grocery store. But we limit those trips, and we try to make sure they're planned. And we really, are thankful for the delivery that we have that luxury, of tapping into getting groceries delivered, and youth sports are coming up. Fargo youth baseball is projected to start June 1st, and that makes me extremely uncomfortable as a mom. Mm-hmm. And so I don't agree with it, and I hope that they will push it back even further because we still have not peaked. In North Dakota, Fargo is the largest city by population size, and we are all within Cass County, which has had the largest number of cases so far, but not every single citizen in the state of North Dakota has been tested yet. So I think our numbers would be different also if that were an option or an opportunity afforded to everyone in the state of North Dakota to have that opportunity of getting tested. So that hasn't happened yet. The mall has opened up. Things are, kind of moving back to how they were pre-COVID-19 times. The governor has issued, more executive orders and things to provide guidance for larger group gatherings and such. But lots of virtual graduations we're seeing, of course, throughout Indian country, but specifically within North Dakota, there's been a lot of virtual graduations happening, and people are still very concerned with the spread of COVID-19, and this has really exposed the shortcomings and the lack thereof for a much-needed public health infrastructure to prevent the spread of COVID-19 and other illnesses, that's an area that needs some definite attention. And it's great. I'm thankful for all of the people advocating and pushing elected leaders and every level of government to do what's right in protecting the public's health, but more needs to be done. And hopefully we can get on a strong path towards a stronger public health infrastructure.
Is there a breakdown of who's getting the virus and who isn't in North Dakota? Do you know what the numbers are?
There is not a specific breakdown in terms of race. demographics, but more so by county and age groups.
That's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's interesting. And so when we look at our neighboring states, like South Dakota is collecting race data, I know Minnesota, I saw they had put an article out today on looking at the spread of COVID-19 in populations that have histories or more susceptible to chronic illnesses and underlying health conditions or pre-existing health conditions. So, yeah, there's it's an interesting area because that's I'm learning as we go too, and as a public health professional, I'm learning every day. Mm-hmm. And we do have to take into consideration the different political landscapes in each of the different states. North Dakota is an extremely red state, we have a lot of work to do
in terms of
equity and making sure people are treated in a humane safe and good way.
Well, I'd like to, kind of circle around here and just talk about your neighbor to the south a little bit and what's going on there. Can you give any update of what you've heard with the governor wanting to have the tribes open up the roads for them to bring them blankets with the virus in it? I don't know. What are you hearing?
Well, I've been following it closely because we know that whatever happens in one state can certainly set precedence in another state. And so with South Dakota being so close to us and knowing and hearing our governor in North Dakota openly share, that he is kind of sort of exchanging notes with the governor of South Dakota, and both of them are very big Trump supporters. So taking that into consideration, it really doesn't help the matters in terms of tribal nation, strengthening relations to government, it doesn't help things in that arena. So I've been following everything, that's been coming out. I've been following the press conferences, the commentary, the different legislators weighing in, and watching the interviews and the panels, and just trying to gather as much information as I can to be informed, so that I can, have a sound perspective too. But I do believe that that state governments do need to respect tribal sovereignty. They need to respect the sovereignty of tribal nations, and they need to work to find a good partnership versus trying to tell one or the other how to govern. And I think when we look at the landscape of tribal nations, oftentimes are in a deficit when it comes to resources to help keep their community healthy and strong. And so I respect what tribal nations are doing to protect their communities and their future generations. And so I hope that there's good resolution and a huge learning curve. And it's really a testament to show the lack thereof, federal Indian law knowledge and the parameters of what a state government should and should not do.
Wow, you said that nicer than I would have. You have a lot of class there. So your family staying safe? You guys still doing? We're going to end this right now, but I just wanted to ask you one last question: is your family still doing exercising? You're still online? Are you still watching the comedians? What's happening there?
Yep, we are. Well, the Indian Comedy Hour took a break, 2-week break, so we're kind of,
need more material. I got.
They're gearing up for a big fundraising event May 22nd, and all the proceeds will be going to the National Congress of American Indians COVID-19 Relief Fund. And they have a great lineup, and three of the comedians I've seen or listened to so far, and they're all really, really good, all very diverse. And so that's May 22nd, so we're just kind of patiently waiting for that to come to come on again. And, yep, my family, we're still participating in the 3 nights a week Zoom workouts from my friend down in Lawrence, Kansas. It's fun to see so many young people, because she's a mentor to college students at Haskell Indian Nations University. And this past week, we were tasked with providing a workout within that a set. And I don't even know what the names of some of those exercises were. So I just said, how about jumping jacks?
Is that awesome.
Safe? And they were like, sure, we'll add something to that. I was like, for the 40 plus group. Oh, but my family participates in it. You know, the 5-year-old twins, 13-year-old, and the 17-year-old, we all take part in it. So it's 30 minutes of grueling workout Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you for spending some time with us. And you're also one of the regulars on the Native Roots Radio American Indian Movement, the support group symposium on Sunday. So we're going to see your family this week, and it'll be awesome show. So thank you for doing all you do and also spreading all this positive energy that comes from you. And really, thank you so much, Pinigigi, for being on.
Cool. Thank you.
Ahoo. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350. We'll be right back.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods, where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
Hey, Cudigee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilots Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children.
When we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade. Every week, we are so excited to have Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 on. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, Nancy.
Well, good afternoon. It's Nancy Bolio, and I'm the Northern Organizer for Minnesota 350, and I lead the Bemidji 350 team, and I'm just more than grateful to have this opportunity to speak on your show. So once again, thank you, Robert. And I wanted to reflect a little bit on COVID and where we're at today. And we know that the governor has lifted some of the restrictions, but we got to know as Indigenous people, we have to take care of ourselves regardless what the governor might say, because we know that our knowledge is sacred. And so we have to protect our elders. So I'm asking people just to take heed, follow your own intuition, and go into quarantine, because that's what our ancestors would have done. So mm-hmm. let's take care of ourselves and stay in, folks. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about our election, our general election 2020. And so we know that we're living in trying times. And so this is more the most important time that we could ever show up to vote. And I wanted to read a little letter to the editor that I wrote. And it's called COVID-19 and the November 3rd election. With COVID-19 and the governor's shelter-in-place order, many Minnesotans are uncertain about the November 3rd, 2020 general election, wondering how it will move forward and will it ensure the safety of the election judges and the voters. We may wonder if things will ever be the same. Can business return to normal? Set aside these concerns and uncertainties, we at Minnesota 350 and Minnesota Voice know we must still cast our votes. We also understand that COVID-19 is our wake-up call, and we can no longer do business as usual. Only time will tell if things will go back to the norm. As a minority population, we've been faced with many challenges and struggles in our lifetime. The COVID-19 pandemic is only one of many for us. Because every vote matters, we must cast our ballot regardless of what the COVID-19 pandemic brings us, keeping safety in mind. With the COVID-19 pandemic, we must work towards a new normal, at least for now. That means the state of Minnesota should send an absentee ballot to every eligible voter across the state this year. Minnesota 350 is a member of Minnesota Voice. We share a nonpartisan partnership. Our goal is to keep voters safe. We must stay healthy and protect our freedoms and values while we cast our ballot. This year, we will provide virtual outreach and register new voters regardless of the political party they identify with. We must remind ourselves voter participation leads to power that relates to our water, our rights, public health, local economy, and more. Together, we can work toward permanent social, racial, and economic justice by increasing civic engagement. With networking and organizing, we built bridges across minority population along with our non-minority allies so we can find solutions that will create safe voting polls for all Minnesotans. Our health, well-being, and our values are the platform of our democracy. We build power when we shift the power. Voting does matter. So, yeah, I'm encouraging everyone to take time to get registered to vote because, mm-hmm. Robert, we really need to change the way we're doing things around here. And we cannot go back to business as usual. So, you know, we know some of the way policies and laws are written, they like to make things difficult for people like ourselves when we try to, you know, go out and protest against what we think is wrong, especially during the Trump administration. So right now there's a bill in the House trying to prohibit our ability to do that. And so our friends at Minnesota 350 and the Sierra Club and some of our sisters out of Rise Coalition, they're getting together on Thursday with legislators, and they're going to address this bill and tell them why it's not good for us. And along with those two groups, too, are actually three groups. We also have the Native Peoples Caucus of the Minnesota DFL. So it sounds like we're all, you know, getting together and flexing some muscles here. But the free speech and the right to protest is central to our democracy. And we always know that we have to fight for justice But sadly, in the recent years and across the country, we've seen repeated attempts to stifle the rights of protesters and limit free speech. In 2019, lawmakers in both Wisconsin and South Dakota passed legislation that enacts harsh criminal penalties on the protesters while protecting the oil and gas companies that are causing climate crisis. Wisconsin's legislation makes trespassing on land and oil companies a felony punishable by up to 6 years in prison. Such laws are meant to scare opponents of fossil fuel development. And so anyways, here in Minnesota, lawmakers have introduced a similar legislation, and it's in both the House and the Senate. And so with the legislative session nearing an end, efforts have intensified to pass that bill. So, yeah, we've got a strong group of allies that are going to meet with our legislators on Thursday. So we encourage our listeners today to call your local reps, call the Capitol and tell them you have a right to free speech and you want to protect that. So our democracy is at threat at this time, not just our right to clean water and all that. So I was talking with Joe Vital just a couple of days ago. He's the president of the Native People's Caucus of the DFL, and we know this is the time when our people have to rise. So everyone listening out there has to really think about how they could protect their family, and that's by showing up to vote and then showing up after and making sure that our candidates are doing what we voted them in to do. So get out and vote, people. Fill out the census and make sure we're counted, because you know what? We're still here, and we're not going away.
Hey, Nancy, I'm wondering if you could hold on and we could do a quick interview in hour two, just who you are and how you came about to be. Do you mind doing that?
I would love to share who I am, because you know what, Robert? I was just that everyday person thinking my voice didn't matter. And then somewhere, just showing up somewhere, it kind of sparked my fire, and it reminded me about who I was, and I lost my way during assimilation, and I'd love to share how I built up strength to take part of protecting all the sacred things and being a part of something bigger than myself.
Well, let's do that in hour two. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and that's Nancy Bolio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with hour two.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
My name is Jackie, and I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to the AM 950 KTNF St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Green light to start reopening. Governor Andrew Cuomo says residents still need to be cautious and follow recommendations.
How you act will determine what happens to you. Literally, will I get infected? Well, it depends on what you do. Will we have a higher infection rate? Depends on what we do. You increase economic activity, we expect to see an increase in numbers. We don't want to see a spike.
Trips to the supermarket are getting more expensive. Correspondent Diane Gallagher.
If it felt like you were paying more on those grocery shopping trips last month, it wasn't your imagination. Grocery store prices spiked the most that they had in 1 month since 1974, nearly 50 years. And look, we're talking everything here. Fruits, vegetables, cereal, meat, dairy.
I'm Ann Cates. The state of Texas is calling on local fire departments to help with COVID-19 testing.
It's part of Governor Abbott's effort to significantly ramp up testing in the most high-risk communities. Local fire departments now teaming up with the state to test residents at nursing homes.
We have the workforce, so we have the staffing, and we have the medical training.
Plano Fire Chief Sam Greif says departments are working with the state to finalize a plan that will allow for efficient testing at nursing homes across Texas. The National Guard's been called in to help disinfect nursing homes. Clayton Neville, Dallas.
Demonstrations have taken place in several European cities against restrictions aimed at controlling the spread of the coronavirus. Tear gas was used today on protesters in Poland, and arrests were made at a gathering in London's Hyde Park. Police kept a careful eye on distancing requirements at large demonstrations against COVID-19 rules in Germany, including Stuttgart, Munich, and Berlin. I'm Ann Cates.
How much money would you like to save just by doing something you're already doing? How about 40%? With Allstate, safe drivers can save 40% just by doing something they're already doing. Driving safe. That's right, 40% just by driving safe. Visit Allstate.com or call a local agent for a quote today and see just how much you can save when you drive safe with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Savings vary and based on DriveWise and other safe driving discounts. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
With all the overtime our appliances have been taking on these last several weeks, it wouldn't be shocking if one called it quits. Silver lining? Maybe you wanted a new one anyway. Lowe's has you covered during our appliance savings event with 12-month special financing to help with the unexpected. And up to 40% off select appliances, including the best brands to fit your style and budget. Plus, we'll even deliver for free. Download our app or shop Lowe's.com today. Offers valid through 6-3. Free local delivery and credit applies to appliances $299 or more. Subject to credit approval, exclusions apply. U.S. only.
During this stay-at-home time, many of us are getting around to what needs doing at home. So how is your vacuum cleaner running? Is it time to get it repaired or maybe even replaced? Great news! A1 Vacuum in Roseville is open for curbside service. We're here from 10 until 2, Monday through Saturday. Give us a call at 651-222-6316 to place your order for curbside supplies, repairs, or replacements. Find more information and updates at a-1vacuum.com.
Hey, Cudgy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robinskaplan.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we got showers with a high near 66. Tonight more showers with a low around 51. Tomorrow still raining with a high near 58. Monday sunny with a high near 72. And Tuesday sunny with a high near 78. With the state closing bars and restaurants for dining in, it's especially important that you support our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Locally owned restaurants offering takeout include Nightingale, Great Wall, Cafe Latte, Park Tavern, Hazel's Northeast, and more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Hour 2. All things are relatives. What we do to everything, we do to ourselves. All is one, Black Elk. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy Pilot. It says that right here, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many, many years, and she is a volunteer Minnesota State Council member for the Humane Society of the United States. And she works on animal issues at the state level. And she has this very important part of the show, which we talk about our sacred animals. Welcome, Wendy.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Robert. As always, my name is Hanajihi Hani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name. I think everybody knows this by now, by Maidega Curtis. So as always, thank you, Curtis. I have an article here that I'm going to read from Humane World, and that's a blog, Kitty Block's blog, and she's the president and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States. And the Humane Society of the United States just came out with their 8th Horrible 100 report on the cruel world of puppy mills. So there's a list. I put it on our Facebook page. If you want, you can go on and find your state and find out which puppy mills in your area were deemed the worst, the horrible 100. Now, Robert, I think most of our audience knows that we have a puppy mill dog. Her name's Gracie, and she was a breeder dog.
And Wanda.
In a puppy mill. Well, Wanda was there for a year, but Gracie was in the puppy mill for 7 years. So she was in a cage for 7 years. She never left the cage. You know, really, for 7 years, nobody really talked to her kindly. She didn't have a name. She had a tag with a number on it. She never went for a walk. She never saw the light of day. She was kept in an indoor facility, and she was bred over and over again. Now, as far as I know and what I've heard, her puppy mill where she came from was AKC approved. And this means that the American Kennel Club, right, which is like a world-renowned dog club, approved her puppy mill as an approved mill. Now, I'm going to just read this really quick. This is a petition, and this is from the Humane Society of the United States, and I put it on our Facebook page, Native Roots Radio Facebook page. You can go on. I'm going to urge everyone to go on and just sign it. It's like really, really quick. But here's what the petition says. The American Kennel Club, otherwise known as AKC, HSUS, the Humane Society of the United States, is asking the AKC to stop protecting puppy mills. Despite their image, the AKC is not an animal welfare organization. It is a purebred dog registry sustained by dog registration fees. Because of their financial dependence on the commercial breeders, the AKC regularly lobbies against animal welfare animal welfare bills, including those that would provide protections for dogs and puppy mills.
This sounds like the NRA of dogs
exactly.
and puppy mills. What the?
Exactly. For years, the AKC has opposed laws and ordinances which aim to protect dogs and puppy mills, combat dog fighting, prevent the sexual abuse of animals, and protect dogs from suffering in extreme temperatures. So they're full of baloney. And I would like everyone who is Facebook friends of ours to just scroll through, find that petition. I put it up already, and you could just sign that. And I want to everyone to just be aware that just because you know you're getting a dog from an AKC approved place, it doesn't mean anything. Here is a couple of. You know, those horrible hundreds, So there's puppy mills all over the place. I don't know how many there are in Minnesota. I should have checked it before I came on, but I didn't.
Do you remember up in was it Babbitt?
Well, we went to get our dog
Dassel,
up there somewhere.
There's a big, big puppy mill of 900.
Has over 900 dogs in there, and they're all kept in cages, one on top of the other in wire crates. It's really horrible. And all these dogs are sold online and to pet stores throughout the United States. They're shipped all over the place. And I want to just let our audience know that a responsible breeder, they do not sell their dogs to puppy mill to pet stores, and they don't sell their dogs online. A responsible breeder wants to get to know the person who's adopting their dog, wants to meet them. They'll do a home inspection. They want to know that the puppies that they're breeding is going to a good home, and many of them will. Many of them will make you sign a contract saying if for any reason you cannot take care of this dog, do not bring it to a shelter. We want it back.
Right. So what does PetFinder.com do? That's online.
Yeah,
PetFinder.com
is a website that you go on and lots and lots and lots of pet rescue organizations use it as a means to kind of advertise what dogs that they have. Now, you could go on PetFinder.com and click on, I want a female less than 20 pounds. I want to find the dog less than 50 miles away from here. Yes, I want a potty trained dog. And you click all the little buttons, and then it kind of finds the dog for you.
And a lot of them are rescue dogs.
All of them are rescue dogs.
None
of them come from
really good to
a
know.
Pet store or anything. No, they're all rescues.
One thing I want to ask you, too, is, or one thing I want to say to you is, and see what your response is. If you are going to purchase a dog or animal from somebody, you want to see the mother.
You want to be able to see the mother and the father. You want to be able to meet those two dogs. And most of the time you can't because dog breeders are in the business for making money, and they don't really care about the dogs, honestly. But I just want to read a couple of things where inspectors went into these puppy mills, right? So last year, a state inspector visited Wendy Pets. Now, I wanted to read that because it has my name in it, right? So Wendy Pets, a puppy mill in Seneca, Kansas. They found 24 dogs that had simply disappeared from the facility. When asked, a representative told the inspector he had euthanized the dogs by shooting them. Although he has been a breeder, breeding dogs for years, he claimed he wasn't aware he wasn't allowed to destroy his dogs this way. Okay, that's one example of a puppy mill. What's happening? In Sturgeon, Missouri, a state inspector found owner of TLC Kennels had left his dogs out in the cold only in blue barrels for shelter or on dangerous wired flooring. Now, these dogs stay in horrible temperatures. They're not regulated. They stay in the heat. They're in the ice cold. They're matted. They're dirty. They're fed horrible food. Our little Gracie only has three teeth. She has two canines and one molar in the back. All of her other teeth had to be pulled out because of such poor nutrition. So these dogs, then, you know,
fell out.
Right. No, you go to a puppy, you know, you go to a pet store and you're like, oh, look at these cute little puppies, you know, and you buy them. Now, I'm going to confess here that, hey, Robert, you and I, when was it 19 years ago, we passed by Petland in which Sunray,
east side of St. Paul.
Yeah, we walked in there to buy cat food, and we're like, oh, let's get cat food and we'll look at the puppies. We get the cat food, we look at puppies, we find these two Chihuahua puppies, and we buy them. The next day, I find out about puppy mills. I had no idea about puppy mills. So from Mickey and Poncho, from that purchase 19 years ago, we found out about puppy mills, and you and I have both been trying to talk with people and educate them about puppy mills and where dogs come from. Right now in the United States, each person has to have like 7 dogs each to get rid of the homeless dog population. So there's plenty of dogs out there. You just need to find someone and get a rescue.
And when we used to, do dog transports from mm-hmm. Indiana,
yeah.
I think that why we got these older dogs is because they were so seemed grateful in their eyes
yeah.
that they were being saved and rescued and not euthanized.
It was really sad.
Yeah.
So we promote Please Adopt, Do Not Shop. And I just wanted to bring that important information. Please go on Native Roots Radio Facebook page and please sign that petition. I'd really appreciate it.
As always, Wendy, thank you for talking about our sacred animals. And as you know, a lot of great medicine men and chiefs and have been named after dogs.
That's
and have
right.
dog in their name.
Yeah.
So it's really, they're sacred to us along with all the four-legged animals. So really, this is just right in our wheelhouse, and I really always appreciate your information.
Thank you.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back with Amber Torres, chairperson of the Walker River Paiute Tribe in Nevada. We'll be right back.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States. And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, Cudgee to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today, to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pinigi, and thank you for your support.
Jay Selby's, an airy plant-based cafe serving up American classics, nestled in the heart of St. Paul in the historic Cathedral Hill neighborhood at 169 Victoria Street. Jay Selby's serves great plant-based food and only plant-based foods where customer service is a priority, great food a tradition, and a comfortable, cool space for like-minded people to gather and enjoy a sustainable, environmentally friendly, and compassionate meal. As the Star Tribune writes, Jay Selby's is an innovative vegan restaurant that does a spot-on Big Mac. It's a good day for good food.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
Unwanted sexting or photos, inappropriate jokes, even tickling or wrestling can feel like a violation. Catcalling, cornering, or groping, getting them drunk or high for sex, recording sexual acts without permission, hurting someone because of their sexual orientation, raping a family member, a child, a date, a friend, a stranger, purchasing a human being for sex. You make the choice every single time. Sexual violence is many things. Make a choice. Do not do it.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahade. That's Distant Thunder is my name, and my colonized name or my taxpayer name is Robert Pilot. Right now we have Amber Torres, who's chairperson of Walker River Paiute Tribe in Arizona, and I'm really excited to have you on. Amber, welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Oh, Pija Tagano, me, Amber Torres, me Nania, Nura Agadikata, point of view, Nura Agaigwe. Good evening, everyone. My name is Amber Torres. I'm the chairman for the Walker River Paiute Tribe in Shurs, Nevada. Thank you for having me. I'm honored and blessed.
Yeah, thank you so much. I have a lot to talk to you about, but let's talk a little bit about your nation, about your tribe. How many people are in your tribe?
We have about almost 500 homes on the reservation and population to just a little under 1,000. But we manage about 325,000 acres of within God's country, beautiful area in the Great Basin.
And can you tell me, tell me a little bit more about your nation. What language would you be speaking then?
We are the Agaticutta, the trout eaters of the Walker River Paiute Tribe. Again, fish and trout and pine nuts are traditional foods. So that's what we're named after, trout eaters.
Oh, cool. So how long have you been chairperson?
I have been the chairman of the Walker River Paiute Tribe since 2016. And I'm loving every day of it.
Cool. Well, I know you from, well, we met at the Lemire Presidential Forum in Iowa, and that was a great time. And you were on the show before, and you're also on the weekend symposium, and it's really excited to have you again on Native Roots Radio. Can you give us a little, what's going on with your tribe? How many people are infected? Do you have the doors closed? I know we have issues up here in South Dakota that I'd like to talk to you about a little bit, but what's happening down there with your nation?
Yeah, sure. We declared a state of emergency, and immediately, we put all of our staff on administrative leave, leaving the essential programs in place to make sure that we were still available to offer services to our people. The biggest thing is that we took this serious right away. We then closed down our reservation to anybody who was not a permanent resident. We also closed down our Weber Reservoir. Again, that's a highly recreational area for outsiders. And, so we've been declared that declaration back on March 16th, and we've been closed to the outside world since then. Also putting in place a curfew from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. And I am over the moon to say that we do not have any cases of COVID on our reservation. So, blessed and highly favored to make sure that we're continuing to take care of our people and continuing to monitor everything as the days go on.
That's amazing, because I'm an urban Indian up here in Minnesota, and we have people with submachine guns protesting with Union Jack flags and Trump hats that they want to open up. And so that's an amazing thing that you've taken the bull by the horns and really protecting your people. I just want to give you, so much credit.
Yeah, thank you so much. And again, really the credit goes back to our emergency management team, initially when we went into the state of emergency, the incident command team then took over, you know, and we meet every other day. We watch everything on a national level, on a regional level, and a local level. You know, what's really disheartening right now is a lot of our tribes, there's 27 tribes in Nevada, and a few of our tribes around us are being hit hard right now. You know, and it's really hard to see people that we know, our relatives, you know, getting infected, getting sick. And, you know, we just want to try to make sure to protect our most valuable commodity, which is our children and our elders. And we just know that if it got into our reservation, it would wipe out our whole community. So, you know, just continuing to take those precautions on an everyday basis, monitoring, you know, people that come in and out of the reservation, also making sure that we set up a community store so that our people didn't have to leave the reservation to get essential items such as, you know, groceries. So, again, we set up the community store, and we have their, you know, meat, produce, household goods. You know, as far as your toilet paper and things of that nature, bread, you know, because again, we're a food desert where I come from there at Walker River, and it's a 40-mile drive just to your nearest Walmart and about 2 hours to your nearest Costco. So again, we had that issue where every time we went to go shopping, you know, our people did, aisles were bare, you know. So again, we wanted to try to make sure that our people didn't have to leave the reservation if they absolutely did not have to.
Wow, that's amazing. And is there any pushback from the Nevada state government at all to what you are doing by closing your ranks?
No, you know, we haven't had any pushback from, you know, the governor. In fact, we have a good working relationship, you know, with the state and with the governor. He's very on our side. We've done a lot of collaborating and, you know, have good support from him. The most devastating thing has been that, you know, people seem to think, you know, around us that because we are a recreational area and people frequent, you know, camping, fishing, fireworks, you know, because we have a few businesses on the reservation that sell fireworks year-round, is that it is a, it's their right to be there. And my thing is, you know, it's a privilege. These are our natural resources, and we continue to share them. But when we say no, that means no, you know, and you will not come back until we say you can, because, again, we're a sovereign nation. And, you know, like you talked about before, you got people protesting, you got people wanting to go back to a normal way of life so they can go get their hair cut. But, you know, again, to us, that almighty dollar is not the bottom line. Our people's lives and their safety is what we're most concerned about.
Well, that's beautiful. And I'm really happy that Nevada is on your side. And I know, you know, we have the Navajo that are really, really infected, and we all put out tobacco here up north with what's happening to that area and to those people, which are our people. And, you know, one of the things I'd like to just get your insight on is what the heck's going on in South Dakota. It sounds like the opposite of what you're dealing with in Nevada.
You know, it really is. It's really a travesty to see that, you know, the state of South Dakota is not supporting and backing the sovereign nations up that way and supporting their efforts to keep their people safe. You know, I know, Chairman Fraser very well, and, you know, I'm backing him 100%. You know, I think he's a fierce leader. I know he's, he's just an amazing man and a fierce leader. And, you know, I wanted to say something, that probably wasn't for the radio, but, you know, he's a good man, and he loves his people, and he loves his nation. And, you know, keeping everybody safe is his primary goal. And, you know, I think he feels the same exact way as all respective nations, tribal nations, is that, you know, our people are not expendable. And, you know, as sovereign nations, we have to make those decisions, you know, whether the state likes it or not, but they do not have jurisdiction over us. And so, you know, like I said, I think all tribes around the nation support his efforts in what he's doing. You know, same with Mashpee Wampanoag. You know, I was privileged to sit on a panel with our congressional leaders a few days ago, you know, and that was one of my biggest issues is, you know, we can't battle COVID and having, you know, having to be fighting over our land at the same time. It's just, again, just a travesty to have to watch that go on.
It is. And, you know, we're talking about Chairman Frazier, and he reminds me when I've talked to some of the old Amster gangsters up here, they talk about, you know, we stand and they always stand. And I always think of Chairman Frazier, that he stands for his people and doesn't mess around. And it sounds like you do, too. I was just going to ask a quick question, too. Mm-hmm. How much do the chairman and chair people around the natives talk around the country on Turtle Island? Do you talk to a lot of different ones or certain ones?
Oh yeah. You know, we meet on so many different levels. You know, we all sit on a lot of committees nationwide, you know, whether it be NCAI, you know, National Congress of American Indians, or National Indian Health Board, you know, BIA. We basically all have the same struggles, regardless of whether, you know, regardless of the fact that we're all unique. We all have a lot of the same issues. We all have a lot of the same grants and the same issues with the federal government. And so, you know, we have to do a lot of collaborating and sharing and best practices on, you know, what is their nation doing that I could be doing at my nation. And so we do, you know, we, you know, when we're out at conferences, collaborating to find the best possible measures to get what our people need, or even offline, you know, just, hey, how are you doing? How is your nation? You know, and I think I've seen a lot of tribal leaders come together in this effort of battling COVID, you know, because again, you know, the federal funding was not coming down fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
The amounts were not being distributed fairly to each tribal nation. You know, it was almost like they were throwing peanuts out there and we were having to fight over them. And, you know, so we had to think outside the box, you know, as our people are resilient and do what we needed to do, but also watching other tribal nations around the way, possibly doing something better that I could be implementing to save our people. So, you know, we definitely do a lot of, have a lot of good relationships, you know, with tribal leaders across the nation and share, you know, a lot of wealth of information.
Well, I want to thank you for being on. This has been Amber Torres, chairperson at the Walker River Paiute Tribe in Nevada. I really appreciate you being on, and I really appreciate when you come on to the symposium on Sunday nights, too.
And, yes, thank you again. I appreciate it as well.
And it's great to hear another voice from a great Native leader and chairperson. I really appreciate you being on, and we're going to see you Sunday. Thank you again for being on. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Hey, Cudgy to everyone. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Network. In 2017, as a response to the shocking events that transpired at Standing Rock and the lack of accurate and honest information coming from local and mainstream media, we felt we had to do something about it. That is why we created Native Roots Radio, then Pilot's Progressive Party, and finally, the new Native Symposium. We're still here. These shows have been supported by local businesses, and as you all know, unfortunately, they are no longer able to support us during this difficult time of the pandemic. This is why I'm here today to ask you for your support. We feel it is so important to continue to bring this important information to you. Your support will help continue production and airtime costs. So please, if you can, visit Patreon Native Roots Radio Network and help in any way you can. Pini Gi, and thank you for your support.
With your AM950 weather, I'm Sam Turnberg. Today we got showers with a high near 66. Tonight more showers with a low around 51. Tomorrow still raining with a high near 58. Monday sunny with a high near 72. And Tuesday sunny with a high near 78. Thank you for all of the listeners that have supported by becoming members. Thank you for all the kind notes, calls, and comments. We can still use help through memberships, as we know we are a long way from getting through this virus. Go to am950radio.com to learn more.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. In the first hour, we got our MN350 update from Nancy Bolio, but I thought it was important to bring back Nancy and talk a little bit about who she is and how she came about to be such a strong leader up north and with MN350 and for our Native people. Welcome back, Nancy. Thanks for doing this.
Well, thanks for taking the time to let me share my story. And I think we got some listeners out there who could probably relate to me. And so I encourage them to, if they get an opportunity, to share their story with other people, because sometimes people just need to hear something that's kind of inspiring. And sometimes we can use our story, our energy, to light somebody else's fire. And, and then we got warrior strength. So, well, I'm from Leech Lake. I'm almost 55. No, I'm 52. And I am a mother of five, and I live on Leech Lake here in northern Minnesota. And I'm a college graduate and also an artist. And I think my art is my form of therapy, especially during these trying times right now. But my life is kind of focused on protecting our grandmother Earth and you know, the water and the good things, because I know I'm part of nature, and if we don't protect nature, we won't be taking care of our children and those not born yet. So when Standing Rock came to be, I seen it on Facebook like everybody else, and I kept watching and kept watching, and, you know, then my feelings started to change to, you know, I was kind of pissed off, but I knew I couldn't go there and be pissed off, because it's, you know, not the way our people stand. We pray and we dance and we find healing. And so anyways, in college at the time, as an LPN student and going full time, and kept watching the videos. And then one day it's like, I'm going, I have to go. Mm-hmm. And so I got some friends together, and we went to Standing Rock. And you know, Robert, on the way there, I was thinking, hey, I am 49 years old, thinking I'm all tough as nails and heading for Standing Rock. And I didn't realize how scared I was, and it felt like fear was sitting next to me, you know, on the way out there. And I was like, wow, I don't know what I signed up for, but my heart compelled me to go. I had to go. And it felt like there was a wind in the air that came to me, and it was like my calling or something. Mm-hmm. So when we get there, I could smell the fire, the sage. I could hear the drums. I could see the painted warrior ponies. I could see the warriors, and everything that came together. I knew I belonged there. And the minute I got out of the car and put my feet on this crusty earth, I knew it was my calling. And I felt, you know, like community there. There was a sense of purpose, and there was a sense of love and a sense of taking care of each other. And like my daughter said, Mom, this is like back in the day, like even before we were born, long time ago, our ancestors. And I said, yeah, we lost this way because we were assimilated. And make a long story short, we ended up going out there during hard times when it got pretty rough out there. And I was taught lessons of who I was and where I came from and what my purpose in life was. And prior, you know, to going to Standing Rock, I was just your everyday American, thinking if I just did what I was supposed to, I'm doing good. But when I went to Standing Rock, I knew there was a purpose in my life, and part of that purpose is the teaching and the knowledge that we share and the things that we're going to learn along the way for the next generation and what we have to do to take care of our sacred elements. And so Standing Rock lit my fire. Mm-hmm. And then so I keep going and I keep going. And then we know when we come back home, we have to deal with Lion 3. And it's like, you know, this is in our backyard. Mm-hmm. And I can feel that pain that our relatives in Standing Rock went through. So I just kept resisting when I got home. My fire never, you know, fizzled out. It just kept burning. My flames kept burning. And so I started resisting No Line 3. And then there was this group gathering in Bemidji, Standing Rock people. Let's all meet at BSU. If you're at Standing Rock, let's meet there. And I got to be a part of MN350 showing up at BSU, and I was a volunteer, and found a good group of people and a way to keep my energy going, because my heart compels me to do this, Robbie. I think it's our resiliency. I truly believe we are resilient people, because nothing scares me anymore after Standing Rock. So I'm glad to have that energy. But yeah, anyways, back to my work with 350. I got the opportunity to take over our last lead in Bemidji 350, and in the last year we had to focus a lot on treaties and protecting them. So we formed some work together to stand together as a people, because, like I said, this is bigger than me. So we kind of figured that we needed some people power, and how are we going to do that? So in the last couple of years, we've done, you know, events, rallies, and we showed up at the governor's office, the attorney general's office, and we just show up in places where most people can't show up because we've been oppressed and we don't have the financial resources to get there. Last year, maybe 12 months, we had to deal with our Minnesota Chippewa tribe. And the Minnesota Chippewa tribe is the 6 reservations up in northern Minnesota, excluding Red Lake. We're under one umbrella, and so we govern ourselves together. And one, if one tribe decides to make a decision that might affect another tribe, the other tribes can say, no, that doesn't work that way. You know, we're in this together. We're trying to protect the water. We're not seeing that. We're seeing that each tribe is working individually for their own interests, and we're kind of falling apart at the seams at the Minnesota Chippewa tribe. We also know that our constitution is unconstitutional. we see these things, and so some of my work with MN350 is geared on the tribal resistance side. Many of our non-Native allies don't understand that. When big companies like Enbridge and PolyMet want to come in, they come in and they go see 5 elected officials, and all they need to do is persuade 3 out of 5, majority vote. They get the place to put the pipeline. Oh, we got the land. Now we just need to go to the state side and get all of our permits. And so our leadership makes it way too easy for these corporations to show up and do bad things to Mother Earth. And so we have formed a coalition. And we've also networked with other nonprofits to get financial support to get us to our tribal meetings, because most of our people, like I mentioned earlier, can't afford these, you know, long distance travel to get to a meeting or the lodging to stay there. So pre-COVID, we were filling the meeting room. We were bringing those people because we had support, we had the money. And, you know, when you stand together, you don't stand alone. And that is something we had to prove to our people, is that when you want to say something, it's okay to say it, and you're not going to say it by yourself. You just need to find the right people to stand with. So I spent the last couple of years through trial and error trying to figure out how we're going to show up and represent ourselves. And we always know we have to stand on prayers and dance and, you know, drum and all those good things and show up in a good way. Otherwise, they're going to label us a angry Indian, get them out of here, and no one wants to listen.
Exactly.
So we show up in the most, well, I don't want to use the word professional, but I'll say respectful. And sometimes we do have differences, but we realize that we have to be at the table. We have to find our way through hard conversation to build who we are. So part of me is not just who I am, it's who we are. I couldn't do the work that I do without the support that our people give each other and the love that we have for each other. So in the last 3 years, I've grown out of Standing Rock, and I can't see life any different. And COVID-19 right now is just another wake-up call that we can't do business as usual anymore, and we have to get back to our ancestral ways and protecting our 4 sacred elements and creating art and doing all those beautiful things that help us let go of the pain that sometimes inflicts us throughout life. So I'm an artist too, Robert. I do all kinds of forms of art, and in the last 3 years, I would think that most of my work has been around resistance art. Mm-hmm. I create banners and hand drums with the water, you know, the Nibi water drop on there, mm-hmm. and just all kinds of different things. And to me, it's part of finding peace in the work I do, because it can be, you know, troubling at times, because when they pass laws and legislations that go against us, it hurts you, you know, like the Thursday's appointment with the legislators. Hey, we want a right to have our voice. And so we have to continually resist some of the things that are in front of us. But if you find your way in a space to create beautiful art, you kind of let go and you find the beauty in your work. And I've been donating my work into fundraising efforts, because it takes money to do what we do.
Yep.
And so it's a good way to support the organizations that support the work we do, because we're in this together regardless of, you know, what color our skin is. We all need water and fresh air and, you know, the green grass and the good things like that. So I think it's important that we build on those ally relationships and respect the differences and know that we're in this movement together. And sometimes you might feel alone, like I did first watching the Standing Rock videos. I felt strapped to my living room, my house. And I think that's where some of the anger was fueled from, was that I felt helpless and I felt like I couldn't help because I was so far away. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, something drew me there. And when I went there and realized when we stand together, we don't stand alone, it's so powerful. When we took our first ride to the front line, woke up real early one morning, report to the front line, report to the front line. And they were like repeating, this is not a drill. And I remember us all stopping and like we all froze and we all looked at each other like, what did we sign up for? That fear was back, Robert. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. But at that point, I can't turn around. There's no turning around. Mm-hmm. So we all get in the vehicle and we get up to the front line. And again, fear was sitting next to me. But you know what? I'll tell you one thing, Robert, and I'll never forget that moment for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. It almost makes me cry. When I got out and got along with everybody else on that front line that day, that's the most powerful I ever felt in my whole life. Mm. And I knew that because we stood together that day. And when we stand together, we give each other this undying strength. That's that right. Resiliency comes out. And that's what I became now, is that person that is fearless and the person that wants to make sure that we have time forever, you know. My children and their children and their children and their children deserve everything that we had, minus the Western lifestyle, because, you know, I like to stand up for a clean, green life, too, at the same time. You know, a lot of people are still living disposal, but Mother Earth doesn't like that. Mm-mm. She wants you to do dishes and not throw a paper plate away.
That's right. Hey, Nancy, I think we could do a whole show together, and I really appreciate just this little insight, but we got to get going right now, and I really appreciate it. We could probably do a whole show. We started a Native Roots Radio because of Standing Rock 2 and all the misinformation, so the Seventh Fireworks went everywhere. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Uncle Curtis. We'll be right back after this short break. Peeny Gigi, Nancy.
Robbins Kaplan, LLP, protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan, LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
MN350 is a grassroots, volunteer-driven organization fighting for climate justice and a swift transition away from a fossil fuel-based economy. To get involved, visit mn350.org or find us on Facebook at MN350. Building a climate movement in Minnesota.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakanjahare, which means distant thunder. And that's my name. And my uncle here that's on the line gave me that great name, Pini Gigi, Uncle Curtis. And welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake.
Oh, hey, Pini Gigi, Chuchke. And you got a beautiful name, and that's your name. And I want to say my name, too. My name is Muske Hanajinga. I walk on a white cloud. My colonized name is Curtis West. And I want to say, like I always say to my baby girl, Kim, I love you, Kim. And I want to say another thing is that, all of my family, relatives, and friends in Four Directions, I pray all is well that you're safe and from this virus. And pray all is well. And my Chuska here lets me do a few things and birthdays and shout-outs and events. You know, with this lockdown, there ain't too many events going on there. And he's got one that's gonna tell you later on. So I'm gonna start out with some birthdays. And there's this one that I want to give a serious shout-out to is to the Ho-Chunk Farms. And it's their birthday today, and I want to say happy birthday to the Ho-Chunk Farm. But the other one here, a good friend of ours is down here, and he looked off after his dad and, you know, looked after Wongsik's over there over on Franklin Avenue. His name is Gary Ratner. He runs a bar and restaurant over at Bunny's, and it's his birthday today, and he listens every time, and he said he really liked to meet Robert Pilot. So I'll say,
soon.
Yeah, and anyway, he said he'll like my vegan food and stuff like that. So I said, all right, then. But, yeah, so anyway, like I said, you know, on a serious note, and this thing, and, you know, there's elders that are older than me and Robert, and there's a few that are coming up this month. And so we want, and Robert knows him. He's over at the branch office every now and then. His name is Mark Cheeto Strassner. So it's his birthday today.
Wow.
So happy birthday, Cheeto. And this one that is one that well respected. He was our president over there at the Native Ho-Chunk Nation. We're going to say happy birthday to Choka Willie.
Who?
Yeah. Willie Cleveland, and it's his birthday coming up, and I can't wait to, you know, bring his present over to him. But, yeah, so anyway, other one is Daniel Whitehorse, Marlon Whitewing, Gloria White Thunder over there in God's Country. So we want to say that much to them. And the other thing, you know, it's a day late, but it's never late. We want give honor to, shout out to the Peace Officers Memorial Day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for all the officers that did their service and lost their lives in the line of duty. So we don't say that much to a man. And there was one that he called me earlier this morning. He wanted to say we're going to go over to Power Ground. Wabu's Jerry Augenash and his wife Sherry, and they said they want Robert and Wendy to come over and have a fry bread on pizza with them. So we want to say ho-ho. But the other one that really a good shout-out I want to give to, and I know Native Roots Radio would like it, and we want to say ho-ho to Tommy Tomahawk. He's got that fire still going up there. Mm-hmm. Until this it's still going on, and it's a special thing, and him and his son are doing that fire up there, and it's a sacred fire, and you know how the fire means to all of us, you mm-hmm. know. So you know, but yeah, and I wanna say something to Trisha Zunker up there. You know, she ran a good fight up there, and you know. And real humble, and you know she didn't win the election, but she won our votes and our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And November is a different story. So, and Trisha, man, you know, like that. And the other thing,
run again, right?
Run again, and in November. And the other thing, I wanna say, I've seen it on Facebook, and I hope it ain't fake news, but I hope them congressmen that are trying to do this thing is you know, free our brother Leonard Peltier, you know.
That's
it's
right.
About time. He's been a political prisoner for too long, and it's time to let him go. Let him come back to us, you know. Yeah. And I hope that they make the right decision and let him free.
That's right. The longest political prisoner in the history of the United States, something like 44 years.
They're letting people left and right out, and he's one that he's been wrongfully accused, and let him home with us.
That's right. Hey, Uncle Curtis, do you have those are great words, by the way. Do you have a word of wisdom for us, or a gaga?
Yeah. This wisdom, this going to be short and sweet, Don Chuska. I want to say one thing that this brother told me. He said, "Before you speak, let your words pass through your heart."
Oh, that's a great one. Hey, I just want to give everyone too a shout out. You know, support us on our Patreon, Patreon Native Roots Radio Network. And also we have our symposium that's played live on Facebook, where we have natives all across the country. And this week is Generations, and we're going to have people with their kids on, and it's going to be a lot of leaders across the United States, Native leaders, and so it's going to be exciting, and that'll be rebroadcast on AM 950 at 10 o'clock, 10 to 12. So that's 2 hours on Facebook Live on Native Roots Radio. And Pini Gigi, Uncle Curtis, for all you do and for being on again this week.
Aho, Pini Gigi, Chuchka.
I would like to end with these thoughts. If you are listening to the show, you are the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coots, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I've been your host, Robert Pilot. The revolution is kicking into high gear, and I would like to thank all my listening audience, our sponsors, and especially our guests, which make this show. If you are listening to this show, you are the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. Free Leonard Peltier.
Robbins Kaplan LLP protects and defends American Indian tribes because for too long they have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan LLP seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purden, their American Indian law and policy practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due
due to their underdog status. Their American Indian law lawyers understand the challenges tribes face when state and local government infringe on tribal sovereignty and the federal government neglects its trust responsibilities. Their passion for tribal sovereignty and self-determination is the driving force behind their practice, fueling their tribal advice and advocacy, especially when tribes are forced to litigate against powerful interests. Robbins Kaplan LLP, representing American Indian tribes, tribal government boards and commissions, individual tribal members, and American Indian business and business concerns. For more information, visit robbinskaplan.com.
My name's Amron from the Ho-Chunk Nation. You're listening to AM950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Net change in hospitalizations is down. Net change in intubations is down. Number of new cases per day is also down, 400.
Stay-at-home orders and other COVID-19 restrictions are being eased in many areas. Correspondent Polo Sandoval reports federal protocols have been issued.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention unveiled new flowcharts designed to help communities and businesses decide whether they can reopen. The six short documents came after lengthier guidelines were shelved by the White House earlier this week. The CDC also issuing a new health alert about a COVID-related inflammatory illness reported among children exposed to the virus. The agency putting an all call out to doctors across the country.